Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Teresa Scott. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you are currently listening to Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, 2012, and I am glad to be here today. But before we begin, let us just go into a word of prayer. Hallelujah, glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, this is Teresa, your servant. Hallelujah. I thank you for another day. I thank you for blessing me, Lord God, with your word. I thank you for blessing me with salvation. I thank you for blessing me with every blessing that you have given me, Lord. Father, I just ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you will come into this broadcast by your Holy Spirit, that you will teach this broadcast as you will have it be taught, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. And I just thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every listener, Lord God, in the archives who will be listening to this, those that are in the chat room, those that are on the phone line, Lord God. If anybody's listening that is not saved, Father, I ask, Lord God, that you will remove the scales from their eyes, Lord God, that they might see, Lord God, the marvelous word, Lord God, that you have sent. I ask that you will remove, Lord God, the deafness from their ears, that they will hear, Father God, what your spirit is saying unto us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to say thank you, and I just want to bless your name. Hallelujah. I glorify you for each soul being saved today. I thank you for each soul being born again today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Not born again, Lord God, because we know we cannot enter again into our mother's womb a second time, but born again by the word and the spirit, Lord God. I thank you and praise you this day, Father, for their lives being changed, transformed, renewed, Father God, by your word. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this, and hallelujah, and I praise you for it. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited today. I'm excited today. On yesterday, I had an opportunity to be on someone else's Blog Talk Radio. Her name is Sonia Morton, if you want to go back and listen to it. Her name is Sonia Morton, and she is on Blog Talk Radio. You can go back and listen to that broadcast. We were talking about being abused and some things that, you know, we went through when we were younger. And to some of you who know my story, know that I grew up in foster care. And because I grew up in the system, I experienced some things that were really not cool. I experienced some things that people experience even in their natural family, but I happen to have gone through the foster care system, my brother and I, and we experienced some life-changing things. We experienced abuse, rejection, you know, just some emotional abuse, some physical abuse, some things that we carried with us into our adulthood. And, you know, some of those things affected us very greatly. My brother, who is now incarcerated, he was affected very greatly by being in foster care. But even before we reached foster care, he was affected greatly by abuse. And to this day, his life is still, you know, being affected by it. And some people today in the body of Christ are being affected by abuse in the church, in the body. They go to churches and they're being abused by their pastors or whoever their leaders are. The pastors will, you know, try to hold them down from doing whatever their ministry is, or they will just, you know, use them and abuse them, hurt them, dog them, use them up until they can't use them anymore, and then throw them to the wayside. I've experienced that as well in my life, but I'm here to let you know today that you may have been abused, you may have been mistreated, you may have been abused physically, you know, you may have been beaten, punched, food withheld from you as a child. Even you might be in a relationship right now as an adult with somebody who's physically abusing you. They may be hitting you. They may be, you know, beating you or whatever they're doing to you. I'm here to let you know that there is a way out. I'm here to let you know today that there is an escape. I'm here to let you know that God is greater than any problem that you have if you will go to him and trust him, if you will seek God with your whole heart, if you would allow God to come in and heal you the way he wants to heal you, to do things the way he wants to do things. I'm here to let you know that God can help you if you allow him. Glory to God. And I'm saying all that to say that even though I went through so many things in my life and it affected me greatly in my adulthood, God is still healing me. God is still healing me from some things that happened in my adult life. But I tell you this, I'm so glad that I'm going through this healing process and I'm born again. I'm so glad that I'm going through the healing process and I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed from sin, transgressions, iniquity, but I'm also healed from things that went on in my life that I had no control over. And even though we're talking about salvation, we want to talk about salvation from things. We want to talk about salvation, too, from life issues. And there are some things that some of us as believers are yet going through. And we don't know who to turn to. We're scared to turn to the church because we're scared, you know, the people in church are going to go ahead and spread our business all over the place or going to hurt us in another way. We're scared to go to the psychiatrist because if people in the church find out we went to a psychiatrist, then they'll label us as crazy and they won't let us go out and preach the gospel or whatever the gift and callings of God has given us. They won't let us go forth and, you know, do that ministry. We're scared to talk to people in our family because they'll say, you know, it ain't that bad, or they'll try to tell you to medicate some other kind of way. You know, they'll, you know, encourage you to go to the alcohol. They'll encourage you to go to the weed. You know, they'll encourage you to, you know, have, you know, sexual partners who really don't mean any good to you, but they'll tell you, you know, you need that outlet or whatever the case is. But I'm here to let you know today that if it's not for Jesus, if it's not God, everything else is going to fail. There's a song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And I'm here to let you know that all other ground is sinking sand. If you don't turn yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, all that other stuff, it may seem like it's helping you, and it has helped some people, but I'm talking about as believers. We have to go to Christ Jesus, and we have to let him help us. We have to let him heal us. I tell you, some people have done some things to me in my life that if I hadn't let God begin the healing process in me, I'm telling you, those people would be somewhere hurt right now. I would have tried to send someone to them to hurt them or do something to them or try to hurt them myself because of the things that were done. But I tell you, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. I know that if God can do this for me, he can do it for you. Glory to God, because he is not a respecter of persons. If you're hurting today, if you're going through something in your life, and it just looks like you can't make it. It looks like, you know, I can't go through this. I can't go through this anymore. I can't take another day. I'm here to let you know that God can help you if you let him. God can help you if you let him. Trust me and believe me. There's been things that happened in my life that at one point I would be ashamed to talk about, but I'm not ashamed to talk about it anymore because there are other people going through things and they feel like they have to hide. But I'm letting you know today that you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to tell your business to everybody, but I'm here to let you know today that you don't have to hide anymore, that Jesus Christ can heal you. He can heal your wounds, the wounds that you received in your life for whatever reason. He can heal your wounds. I'm a victim of abuse. I'm a victim of spousal abuse. I'm a victim of parental abuse. I'm a victim of, you know, the system abuse, period. I'm a victim of being abused in so many different kind of ways. But I thank God today that he is still yet healing me. He is still healing me. And I can say that I'm not where I used to be. Glory to God. I can proclaim that I'm not where I used to be because I used to be a vindictive person. I used to just hate the world. I used to just hate everybody because of the things that I went through in my life. But I'm here to let you know today that we don't have to be that way. God can heal. Yes, God is still healing me from some things. Yes, God is still delivering me from some things. But I thank God that he's doing it. He's still in the process. He didn't leave me out there hanging. He didn't leave me out there by myself. He didn't leave me out there to the wolves to let the wolves devour me. Yes, I went through some things, but again, I'm saying glory to God, hallelujah, that he is healing me. And yes, Jesus is my rock. Welcome to the program today. Thank you for joining us. And I just want to let you know that Jesus, he is forgiveness. He is the example of forgiveness. He is the complete example for forgiveness because guess what? We've done things to people that we need to go back in our lives and say, will you please forgive me for? We've done things to people who have passed away that we can never ask them to forgive us for the things that we have done. So it's not like everything is one-sided that, you know, everybody did everything to me. I've done things to people, I mean, on purpose. I've done things to people on purpose that I've had to go back and say, will you please forgive me for? I've slept with people's husbands. I don't even know where those people are today. I can't go back to them and say, will you please forgive me for sleeping with your husband? That was when I was in my craziness, when I was out there in the world just acting crazy. I knew of God, but I didn't know him. I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. So there's things that I did out there that when I was not in my right mind, I did them, and I don't even know where these people are today. So I cannot go back to them and say, will you please forgive me for what I did. But I know that I have gone to God and said, God, would you please forgive me for the things that I've done to these people? Will you forgive me for that wife that I hurt when I slept with her husband? Will you forgive me for those children that I hurt when I messed up their family? God, will you forgive me for the things that I did when I was out there smoking weed, when I was out there drinking, and I was doing all these things that I was doing, the people that I got into fights with because I was drinking. I had all my liquid courage. God, would you please forgive me for the things that I did when I was under the influence of alcohol? Yes, I was drinking, but I knew what I was doing, too. I had liquid courage. I knew what I was doing. I can't blame all that stuff on the alcohol. I can't blame all of this stuff on the people. I was out there doing stuff willfully. And, again, we want to talk about what we were talking about on yesterday, how we did things, how David willfully sinned. People want to harp on how David, you know, said Psalm 51, Lord, forget, you know, blot out all my transgressions. I did this thing. It was when I sinned against you and you only, and I did this evil in your sight. But David did not automatically repent of his sin. And I'm saying this to say that I know that we sin, and I have not automatically confessed my sin to God and repented of my sin. David did not repent until the prophet Nathan came to him and gave him a scenario. When David got incensed, he was upset about the scenario that the prophet Nathan made. And then he said, the prophet Nathan said, you are the man, okay? And I thank God for that scripture. I thank God for that word of God that shows us. And welcome to my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott. Good afternoon to you. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining the broadcast on today. But I just want us to be clear that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And just like Jesus is my rock and saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I thank God today that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank God today that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old things are passed away. What we did do in the past is just what it is. It's in the past. But I'm telling you, sometimes things that we have done in the past affect us currently, and we need to know that, glory to God, that we can have a new way of thinking. We can have the new mind of Christ. We don't have to be who we used to be. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God that we are new creatures in Christ. You know, so many people walking around in bondage right now. They're in bondage because of the things that they did. They feel like there's no room for them for forgiveness. But I'm here to let you know that God is a forgiving God. If he wasn't a forgiving God, he would have never sent his son, Jesus Christ. He would have left us in a state of darkness that we were in before we came into the marvelous light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God for what he's doing, because we can have that relationship with God. We can become new creatures in Christ Jesus, but it's something that we got to do. It's not going to happen by osmosis. Yes, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, at that moment we are made righteous, but there are things that we have to do to get renewed in our mind. We have to study the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that changes us. The Word of God gives us a new way of thinking. The Word of God causes us to get this relationship with God. Prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, these things are very, 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 very important. When I read the Word of God in 2 Samuel, and I read the Word of God of how David, you know, how he looked at Bathsheba. He jumped out of his bed and he looked at Bathsheba. He jumped out of his bed and went to the rooftop and he looked at Bathsheba. But even then, he could have stopped and repented of his sin. He could have said, I'm lusting after this woman. He could have stopped and repented of his sin. But not that he look at this woman. He found out who she was. He knew who she was. Then he called her to his home, and then he had sex with her, and then she got pregnant. Then he had Uriah killed. I'm telling you, the succession of sin, we think that, you know, oh, well, I got to do something as big as what David did. I got to, you know, commit adultery. No, you don't have to commit adultery. The little foxes that my husband talks about constantly, the little foxes that spoil the vine, the little things that we do, the unrepentant sin that we carry with us, the things that we do to pile on and pile on and pile on top of the sin that we do. I'm telling you, Jesus is here to forgive us today. He's here to reconcile us back to God the Father. Hallelujah. He already did it. He 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 already did it. What more do we want him to do? He already did it. What more do we want him to do? I really don't know. I don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. He can't do nothing else. There's nothing else Jesus can do. If he's already forgiven us, then we need to forgive ourselves. He's already forgiven us. He already went to the cross. And Jesus, my rock, says, yes, the Lord is so good in the forgiveness. He gives us what we ask. And it says to follow holiness. I think we all need to follow holiness. Not I think, I know we all need to follow holiness. My husband says David did not write the 51st Psalm until a year after Nathan confronted him. A whole year. Now, he repented in his heart, but he wrote that psalm a year after the prophet Nathan confronted him. What is it in our life that God is confronting us about? What is it in our lives that God is confronting us about right now? What is it in our lives that God is telling us to repent of? What is it in our lives right now that God is telling us that we need to stop doing? What is it in our lives that we are doing right now that is not pleasing to God? What is it in our lives that may have us questioning, you know, am I really saved? Because I keep living in sin. I keep living in sin. What is it that we're trying to cover up in our lives that we really need to confess to God and we really need to get it right? What is it in our lives? Are we not reading our word? The Bible says that them that know what to do and don't do it to him is accounted as sin. Are we not studying the word of God? Are we not praying? Are we not fasting? Are we not really having a relationship with God? What is it that we're doing? We're here today because God is offering us forgiveness. He offers us forgiveness every single day. He forgave us when he sent Jesus on the cross, but we sin every day. And we need to be aware that we sin every day and not just take the fact that we have grace and mercy for granted. Because a lot of people take God's grace and mercy for granted. We just take it for granted that, okay, Jesus died on the cross, so, you know, I'm good. We read in the book of Romans yesterday, what, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Are we so bold creatures that we would just continue in sin and say, God, well, you have to accept this because Jesus already went to the cross, so you have to. Are we so bold as humans that we just treat God any kind of way? Are we that bold? Yes. Yes, we are, because every day we treat God like, well, you're God, you know I'm human, this is what I do. So every day there are those of us who treat God as if he has to accept our behavior. The Israelites treated God like that. I'm glad I'm not God because we hurt God's feelings every day. Jesus, my rock, said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We should have that pasted around our home. We should have that on the walls in our homes. We should have it on our TVs. We should have it on our mirrors. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm not going to worry about the beam that's in somebody else's eye because I got a big old moat in my own eye. But God, I need you to create in me a clean heart. I need you to renew a right spirit within me. I need you to blot out all my transgressions. I need you to forgive me, God, for everything that I've done that is not pleasing to you, everything that I've thought that is not pleasing to you. God, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to put the spiritual mirror on me. God, I need to do an introspection on me. God, what is going on with me that is not pleasing to you? God, I yield myself to your spirit today. I yield myself to your Holy Spirit today, that you have permission to create in me a clean heart, oh God. You have permission today, God, to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. God, I'm asking you today, don't cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God, this is what I'm asking you today. I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to wash me with hyssop. I'm asking you to make me new, God. I'm asking you today. I'm not going off of yesterday's grace and mercy. I'm not going off of yesterday's grace and mercy. I'm not going off of yesterday's forgiveness. I'm asking you today, God, to create in me a clean heart, oh, God, and to renew a right spirit within me. I'm not asking you, Lord God, to carry over yesterday's blessings. I'm not asking you to carry over, you know, what you did for me yesterday. This is a new day. This is a brand new day. And, God, I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within me. Because, God, my sin is ever present before you. I'm not living a lifestyle of sin, but, God, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have done something, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you. And I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart. God, what I thought was righteousness, Lord God, I'm asking you to show me your righteousness, not what Teresa thinks, not what I think, God, but I'm asking you, Lord God, to show me what your righteousness is, because my righteousness, what I think of as a filthy rags. And God, I'm asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will create in me a clean heart. God, here I am. Here I am. I know that sin stinks in your nostril. I know, Lord God, that if I live a lifestyle of sin, that I am separated from you. But God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to cleanse me from the filthiness of my flesh and of my spirit. I'm asking you to wash me thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly in my mind, in my will, in my emotions. I'm asking you to wash me thoroughly. I'm asking you to cleanse me in my spirit. God, I'm asking you to do this in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. See, this is what God is looking for. He's looking for a pure heart. He's not looking for somebody that's dressed up all on the outside and filthy on the inside. He's not looking for that. But he's looking for somebody that has a pure heart, that can go to him and say, that he can go to him, that they can go to him and say, God, clean me up. I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. Let me tell y'all something. Just because Teresa's doing a radio broadcast does not mean I have arrived. I have not arrived, and I know that I have not arrived. But all of us should be in a mind that we can say to God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We can all should be able to say, God, listen, I have not reached the mark in this area of my life. I need you to clean me up. We could all should be able to say, God, I need you to help me. I don't care what so-and-so is doing over there, but I need you to help me. I need you to help me. And Jesus, my rock, said if we start sinning and not repent, then how can we continually have salvation? Listen, I said this yesterday. If we continue to live a lifestyle of sin, I'm talking about you do this thing every single day. You done been up to the altar 50 times. You done had people lay hands on you from every state of the union. You done gone to retreats. You done been to conferences. You done all of this stuff, and you still doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. Are you serious? You think God is going to accept you into heaven because of who you say you are? Do you think people get it twisted and say because you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead that you shall be saved? But guess what? It takes more than that. Yes, we get immediate right standing with God, but it takes more than that. We cannot confess Jesus Christ and still live in sin. We cannot confess Jesus Christ and still live a lifestyle of sin. We cannot do that. And if you think you can, I need you to go to the word of God. He that sinneth is of the devil. He that sinneth is of the devil. If you constantly sinning, you need to check yourself. You need to stop letting the devil lie to you and tell you that you are saved because you are his servant. Whoever you yield your members servants to obey, that's whose servant you are. We read that yesterday in the book of Romans. We read that yesterday in the book of Romans. You cannot live like the devil and say you are born again. This is a common misconception. This is something that we lie about, and we do not call people to the carpet on it. But I'm calling us all to the carpet today that if you're living a lifestyle of sin, that you are a sinner. If you are living a lifestyle of sin, you are. If you lie every single day, you just lie for free. Nobody not even asking you nothing, but you starting a conversation with a lie. Why are you lying? If you're in your closet secretly or in your home secretly and you are in pornography and you're doing these things behind closed doors, you're a closet drunk. You're a closet fornicator or you're a closet adulterer. You're a closet thief. You're doing these things in secret, but God sees you. You need to check yourself. We need to check ourselves on a daily basis. We need to stop worrying about what they're doing over there in that church and what they're doing over there in that church, and we need to worry about is our salvation. Are we right with God? If God called us home today, where will we end up? If God called us home today, will we be able to stand before the righteous God and say, God, I lived a holy life before you? See, there's no middle ground. Either you're hot or you're cold. Either you're saved or you're not. That's the bottom line. Either you're saved or you're not. There is no middle ground with God. We cannot say that we love God and we are born again if we're living like the devil. You can't play on the playground with the devil and think that you're not his servant. You can't keep doing the things of the devil and think that you're not his servant. Let's get real today and get the blinders off of our eyes and let's live holy for God. If you know that you're not living righteous, if you know that you're not living for God, you have the opportunity right now while you still have breath in your lungs to repent and say, God, I've been living a lie. I've been living a lie, God. I've been living this a whole other way. And no, nobody has said anything to me like the prophet Nathan came to David. But God, you see what I'm doing. You see that I'm a liar. You see that I'm a thief. You see that I'm a whoremonger. You see, Lord God, that I'm doing things that are not right before you. So God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to wash me because it is against you that I am sinning. It is against you that I am sinning. Come on now. We got to be real. God desires truth in the inward part. King David said that in Psalm 51. God desires truth on the inward part. You can say what you want to say to people, but what is going on the inward part? I'm telling you, there's so many closet sinners. And I'm saying closet because we're not letting people know what we do in a secret. In secret, there's so many pill poppers in secret. There's so many Christians that smoke weed, I promise you. Yesterday I was at work and this lady was cussing out one side of her face. Then she went right outside and told somebody else they need Jesus. She was cussing. She was saying everything she was big enough to say. Then she went right outside and told this guy, oh, well, you know, you think you can do life by yourself, but you really need Jesus. You sitting there compromising your own life. You sitting there talking Jesus out one side of your face, but you do everything you want to do. But you telling somebody else they need Jesus and not even realizing that you're the biggest one that need Jesus. I looked at, and I didn't get a chance to say anything to her because she had already signed off and was outside and was going to get in her car, so I didn't get a chance to say anything to her. But I said, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, are you serious? The deacon, well, he's a member of a big church, and he curses, he sleeps around, he does all of this other stuff, and I'm sitting there like, Lord, is it me? And I'm not trying to be judgmental of these people, but you're trying to tell me to come to Christ and your life is filthy. Your filthiness of the flesh, filthiness of the spirit. My husband says all the time, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You might not be the homosexual. You might not be the lesbian. You might not be that person who is a whoremonger. You might not have that big sin, but what is the secret stuff that you're doing? He wants us to get clean, spring cleaning. He wants us to come clean and come face-to-face with him and say, look, God, this is what I'm doing. I'm sinning. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. And don't you know that same God, do you not know that he will cleanse you? Don't you know that he will wash you? But don't you know that you have to do something too? You have to stop what you're doing. You have to stop that sin. You have to stop in your tracks and say, God, if you feel yourself get ready to do something, you got to say, God, I need you to help me right now. I need your Holy Spirit to help me mortify the deeds of my flesh. My flesh wants to act ugly right now. My flesh wants to curse. My flesh wants to steal. My flesh wants to lie and backbite and character assassinate. My flesh wants to do this right now. But God, I need your Holy Spirit to help me right now. The Bible tells us that our Holy Spirit is here to help us. And we don't even call on the Holy Spirit. We don't even call on the Holy Spirit to come and help us. We think we got it. We got it. Oh, I got this. You don't got it. That's what happened to Eve in the garden. She got this. No, no, no. We got to come clean and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. We got to say, look, flesh, sit down and shut up in the name of Jesus. No, not sit down and shut up. Die. Mortify. I mortify you by the Holy Spirit, every single thing that my flesh wants to do. Somebody pull up Galatians, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. See, we got to see what the Word of God says. The Word of God talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh. If we are in the flesh, we learned on yesterday, we cannot please God if we are in the flesh. I don't care how we try to cover it up. I don't care how we try to make it look good. I don't care how we try to explain it away. We cannot please God if we are in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start reading Galatians chapter 5, and I want to start at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, we're going down to the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Oops, we don't never want to talk about idolatry. What you worshiping? Who you worshiping? Is your pastor your idol? Is your money your idol? Is your husband or your wife your idol? Are your children your idol? Is your job your idol? Is T.D. Jakes your idol? Is Joel Osteen your idol? Paula White, is that your idol? Who is your idol? Do you have something that you're worshiping more than you worship in God? Whatever comes before God in your life is your idol. If you have time to go to work but you don't have time to pray, work is your idol. If you have time to do anything else and you don't have time to pray and time to read your word of God, that has become your idol. Oop, did she really say that? Yes, she did. Whatever we put before God is our idol. Okay. Idolatry, witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You're talking about, I don't do witchcraft. You don't see me with a Ouija board. You don't see me with one of those globes that they use when you go, you know, to the shop and the lady gonna tell you about it. No, you witchcraft, but rebellion. You being rebellious. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Somebody pull that scripture up in the chat room, because I need people to see these scriptures, because y'all think I'm saying this on my own accord, but this is the word of God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if you're being rebellious, then you're operating in witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Or we get angry and we just go past angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means if you get angry, you better get it together before the sun goes down. If you get angry, you don't have to pick up a bottle and throw it at somebody or pick up stuff and hurt people if you get angry. You can be angry and sin not. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay? It goes on to say, strife. You causing problems between people. You starting rumors. You spreading rumors. You know something about so-and-so, so you now you're going to go and tell so-and-so. You're going to cause all of these problems in relationships. Come on now, strife. You causing a problem with the ushers. You done went over to the ushers and said this, and the choir member, now you went over there and said that, now you're doing this, and now you're doing that. You're causing strife. You're causing people to come at each other because of something you said. Come on now. Let's break it down. We want to run over this stuff. Seditions and heresies, teaching lies, teaching stuff that's not even the truth. Walking around saying God said this and God said that and God didn't say none of the stuff, but the stuff that he really said, you're not paying any attention to it. Come on now. Stop teaching lies. Stop telling lies. Envyings, you jealous of this person. You jealous of that. You jealous. Oh, my gosh, you jealous of this. Oh, they got a new car. Now you jealous of them. They got the pastor called on them to pray. Now you jealous on them. Jealous of them. You know, somebody got a new house. Now you jealous of them. Come on. Don't want nobody to get nothing. Are you kidding me? Thank you, Minister Desiree. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the devil of idolatry. Come on now. We better break the word of God down. We want to make it all cute and make it fluffy. Nope, the word of God is saying what it's saying. Then we got envyings, murders. We're not even always talking about a physical murderer like my nephew got murdered. He's physically in the grave, but we're talking about character assassination, killing people by what we say about them, talking about them, making them look bad in other people's eyes because you're mad at them. Come on now. Talking about pastor this and pastor that, trying to make them look bad, trying to say this and trying to say that. I'm glad they sealed the records for Pastor Zachary Timms, because people want to walk around and say what they want to say, and they wasn't with Pastor Timms when he died. You don't know what actually took place in that room when he died. But people want to sit there and come to conclusions of their own and say this, that, and the third. You don't even know what you're talking about, but what you sow, you're going to reap. How about that? Drunkenness. Drunkenness? Ah, you ain't never seen me drunk. No, but God see you. God see you. And some of us is just drunk with sin. Some of us are so drunk with sin, it's ridiculous. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and he was letting me know how, you know, he get his beer, and he go and he do this, and he go and do that, but yet you're supposed to be a child of the Most High God? Why are you taking something that's taking you out of your natural mind? Alcoholic beverages take you out of your natural mind, causing you to do things you wouldn't normally do if you wasn't drinking them. Come on, people. Walking around, stumbling, falling, slurring your speech. Yeah, I love God. Oh, this Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah, I'm so glad I know him. I know him. You know what? I used to be that person. I thank God he delivered me. We have a caller, area code 916. Area code 916. Welcome to Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm just listening to what you're saying. That's good. Keep it up. I agree with everything you're saying.
Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Teresa don't have nothing
That's
to say.
True.
Got to be the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. We're going to go down and read the rest of that chapter, well, the rest of it. We just got finished talking about the works of the flesh, which are manifest. Okay, now we want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Oh, my goodness. Can we say that again? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. David had affections and lust. David got out of his bed, went up to the rooftop, saw Bathsheba taking a bath, asked who she was, found out she was married, summoned her to his house, had sex with her, got her pregnant, had her husband killed. The affections, crucify the flesh with the affection and lust. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How can you live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? How can you live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? How can we live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? Let me tell you something, y'all. We better check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We better check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Thank you. My husband is in there posting the scriptures. I thank you so much. And we only have little more than 14 minutes left. And if anybody else is in the chat room, if you would like to give us a call and get on the air, the number is 323-693-3054. I'd like to say thank you to Bishop Gerald Scott, who is my husband, y'all. Freedom Church, guest 3825, Jesus My Rock, Minister Desiree and Tasha Odom, Mrs. Odom, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to thank you for your support on today. I thank you for joining us. If you have anything you'd like to say, please call, and I will get you on the line. And Minister Desiree said they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip. Romans 1:29. And you know what? There are so many people walking around that are reprobate in their minds and thinking that they belong to Jesus Christ and really belong to the devil. There are so many people, if you read that whole chapter of Romans 1, you will see how people have been just, God had just turned them over to a reprobate mind because they are calling evil good and good evil. They are saying things that God said and he really didn't say, and they're making everything that God says to be, no, God didn't really mean that because this is what he really meant. Homosexuals are taking the word of God and they're telling, you know, they're saying, well, this is what God really meant. God meant what he meant when he said what he said. That's what God did. God meant what he meant when he said what he said. He's not going to change his word to suit our
situation and our circumstances. But God's word should change our situations and our circumstances if we really fully rely on the word of God. If we stop taking the word of God and giving it head knowledge and try to make it be what we want it to be. See, God's not going to conform to us. God's not going to conform to us. God's word is already written and is not going to change because we want it to change. I don't care if it was written 15,000 years ago or a million years ago. God's word is his word, and God's word is not going to change so that we can change it to what we want to be. Now we want God to conform to us? Who are we? He's the potter. We're the clay. We want God's word to conform to what we want to do. Now you got people opening up churches, homosexual and gay churches. People opening up all of these churches because they're not accepted anywhere else. So because you're not accepted somewhere else where the word of God is really being taught, where the word of God is really being preached, you're going to go and start your own church because now we all can be accepted. Listen, I love you, homosexual. I have people in my family who are trying to be gay, homosexual, lesbian, whatever they're trying to be. I love you, but I don't have to accept that. I don't have to accept your lifestyle. I don't have to. Well, I have people in my family saying, well, so-and-so was born that way. Guess what? You were born how you were born, but guess what? Now you need to get born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because God, the Spirit of God, can change all of that. If you was born a liar, God can change that. If you were born a thief, God can change that. Glory to God. And just like Minister Desiree says, the devil is a liar. Don't put that foolishness on God. Don't put that foolishness on God, because if God hated, he's not going to cause you to be born that way. If God hated, he's not going to create something that he hates. He's not going to create you to be born that way if he hates it. And let me tell you, if something got lost in the translation when you was being conceived and while you was born, let me tell you something. You can be born again, and God can save you. Yes, he can, and he can change you. Yes, he can. I know what I'm talking about. We have tendencies to be drunk in my family because my mama was an alcoholic and my daddy was an alcoholic. So we have tendencies to be alcoholic. But let me tell you something. I was an alcoholic, but I got born again, and God took the alcohol out my mouth, and I'm no longer an alcoholic. And let me tell you something. After I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I still was sipping on it. I was sipping on it. Yes, I was, and I was still getting drunk, but I was doing it secretly. I wouldn't tell nobody about it. But God pulled my card. Glory to God. And he called me out of darkness for real into the marvelous light. Hey, y'all better talk about it. Trying to tell you, we got 10 minutes left if you want to get on the line. 323-693-3054. God is no longer, he's never accepted excuses for sin. And if you believe he has, go on the, in your Bible. Pick up your physical Bible. Pick up your physical Bible. Go and read the Old Testament and see what happened to the people who disobeyed God. I'm talking about God's chosen people, the Israelites. I'm talking about them people. I'm talking about those people. Okay? They sinned against God repeatedly. Repeatedly. They had to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine? Some of us are going through stuff and we don't know why. We need to examine ourselves. And not everything that we go through is because of sin. Can I please say that? Not everything we go through is because of sin. But those that are listening, those that, if you know people, I mean, come on now. We ain't perfect. We ain't arrived. I keep looking at King David. I love that story. I love that story. I love that story. But at any moment, every time he picked up on another sin, he had a chance to repent before he even committed that sin. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Because God don't tempt us like that. And he can't be tempted. The Bible says that when we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. See, we think about stuff. Our minds, this gray matter in our head. See, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. This gray matter, I still don't know how this brain thing, this gray stuff, this mass up here in my head, I don't understand how this thing holds thoughts and how it remembers things, but it does. But we ponder things that we have no business pondering. We think on things we should not even be thinking of. And when we begin to think on these things, they become a reality because we've thought on it so much. Every single time I committed adultery, it wasn't a, oops, I'm going to commit adultery. It was because I thought about it, and I wanted to commit adultery. If I stole something, it's because I wanted to. If I lied, it was because I wanted to. Stop sitting there saying the devil made you do it. Are you possessed? Are you possessed by the devil as a believer? Are you possessed by demons? If you are, you need to get some prayer. Ask somebody to cast them demons out of you. But on the real tip, we do stuff because we want to. Hugh Hefner did not come to your house and force you to watch those Playboy magazines. Those people that make those porno flicks, they did not come to your house with a gun to your head and tell you, you better go and buy these porno flicks and watch them. When you stole, nobody came there and say, you better go ahead and steal that. The devil can come and bring you thoughts. He can bring you temptation. But you as a believer have power over the enemy. The Bible says, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over the enemy, over the power of the enemy. So people walking around saying the devil don't got no power, you lying. He has power, but Jesus said, I give you power over the power of the enemy. And we walk around acting like we have no power. We walk around acting like we don't have any power over the enemy. Well, if you're playing games with the enemy, you don't have power over him. If you're playing patty cake and hopscotch and whatever you're playing with the devil, you don't have power over him. Get that straight. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Stop walking around acting like you cuckoo, that you done registered to cuckoo.com and you don't know what you're supposed to do. The devil hates you. And just like Minister Desiree says, we acting like we have no power at all. But if we playing patty cake, hopscotch, jump rope, Jackson, we playing with the devil, he got power over you. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The devil don't like you. And when you on his playground, you're not equal with him. He playing you. He playing you. And then you go to church and you run up and down the aisles and you shout and you sweat out your hairdo and, man, you sweat out your clothes and you do this and you do that and you leave right back out the church, probably worse than before. Then you done went up there and told them to lay hands on you because you this, that, and the third. And now you ain't go home, you ain't read your Bible, you haven't prayed, you haven't done the things you're supposed to do. Your house is swept clean. Now you done came in with seven more worse than what you had before. Now you got eight. And Minister Desiree says he want to kill you. Yes, he do. And you got more than eight. Now some of us, some people walking around, not some of us because the devil is a liar, but some of people are walking around with legions, walking around. Why you think you crazy? Because you got legions in there. Come on now. Go somewhere. God, I need a deliverance. I need to be delivered. I got a lying demon. I got a fornicating demon. I got these things in there, and I don't want to let them go. I want to keep doing it. But God, I ask you to deliver me. You know he'll do it. Oh, wow. You know he'll do it. You know he'll do it. Glory to God. All right, we have 4 minutes left. We're going to offer the prayer of salvation. We're going to ask you if you are on the phone line, if you are in the chat room, if you are listening to the archives, and you know that you call yourself a born-again believer, but you still living like the devil, you know you need to get saved. You know you need to get saved. If you're playing patty cake with the devil, you letting the devil lead you by your nose, you letting the devil bring you suggestions, and he bring you suggestions and temptations, and you sitting there giving into the temptation, you know you need to confess your sin and repent. You need to turn away from that sin. You need to turn away from it. You need to turn away from it. You need to turn away from it, and you can do it right now because you still have breath in your body. Don't wait until you get on your deathbed. You might not make it to a deathbed. Your death might be instant. Don't wait until your body get wrecked with cancer or some other disease, AIDS, or whatever the case is, before you turn to the true and living God, because he's offering you redemption right now. He's offering you redemption right now. Don't wait until somebody beat you to a pulp and you laying in your bed unconscious. Don't wait for your family member to have to come up to your hospital bed and whisper in your ear and give you the plan of salvation. Do it now while you have the chance. Romans 10:9-10 says this. I'm going to read it so I can say it exactly how it says it in the Bible. And it says that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Can you please do what Minister Desiree said? Seek him now while he is here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody, Minister Desiree says. But peep this, Minister Desiree. The next 5 minutes is not promised. The next breath is not promised. If you are that person, I ask you to turn your heart over to the Lord today. If you had a relationship with Jesus Christ and you backslid, if you turned your life away from Christ because of the pleasures of sin, you have the opportunity right now to turn your life back over to Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity right now to ask him to forgive you. You have the opportunity to stop doing that thing that you're doing. Right now. Right now. If you want a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to get it right now. You have the opportunity right now. I could tell you how. Get your Bible and read it. You know, sometimes we do things we just don't want to do, but we wind up doing it anyway. There's times we find ourselves, we be so tired. I'm telling you, sometimes I be so tired, I just don't even go to church. But I bet you I take my tail to work to get that dollar. I bet you I do that. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He will show you how. Get in the word. Get in the prayer. If you don't have a Bible-believing church, ask God to send you one. Ask God to show you one. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to one. Bible-believing, teaching, living. Not enough teach the word of God, but we got to live it too. I thank you for everybody for joining in. Oh, check out my Facebook page because I'm a co-author of a book that's coming out. It's already out. If you want to order it, hit me up on Facebook. I thank everybody for joining me. I love you. God bless you. If the Lord says so, same time, same station on tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day, everybody. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow, ooh, tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today.